I want to share with the church this morning Joshua's message to God's chosen people in America. Old Testament prophet. I think he has a message for us who live in America today. First, we must discover who this man Joshua is. Aha! Joshua is the assistant of Moses, and Moses' successor, chosen by God to lead the wandering tribe finally into the promised land. Joshua was one of the 12 sent into Canaan to explore the land that God had promised to Abram, and only Joshua and Caleb, remember, of the 12 challenged God's chosen people to go forward and possess the land. The other 10 promised defeat. They're too big. They're too strong, they're too many. After Moses' death, Joshua took charge, and the fulfilling of God's covenant with his chosen people began, and they began to enter the promised land. The book of Joshua, in this sacred Bible, demonstrates how Joshua's faith and actions fulfilled God's promise to his chosen people by leading them into possessing the land of Canaan, just as he had led them out of their Egyptian captivity. What does this Old Testament example of leadership have to do with the United States of America today? Everything. Everything. Turn with me now to Joshua chapter 23, and we begin reading verses 11. I want you to listen and think. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, Joshua says. He's speaking to the children of Israel. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Else, if you do, any of us go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these shall remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. He's preparing to die. Going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come unto you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off the good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God which he commanded you, and have gone to serve other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. You say, well, this pertains to Israel. This pertains to the promised land. No, this pertains to God's chosen people. Now, why did the pilgrims come to this bountiful land in the Mayflower, sailing across the angry Atlantic, landing in Plymouth? Why did they come? What was the reason that they left Europe, England, and came to a land that had only shortly before been discovered? I mean, the real history of this nation, and not the updated and revised history of today. I'm talking about real history, much of which has been left out of the history books our children study today in our schools. Why did they come? Revised history of today, with its deletions of fact and addition of political correctness and lack of Christian truth and application, if you know anything at all, I call your attention to Joshua's words addressed to God's people just before his death. If you do this, God will continue to bless you. If you do not do this, God will wipe you off of the face of the earth. Is that what it said? Is that what it said?
Yes.
Written in 1831 by Samuel A. Smith, I want you to listen to these words. I want you to really listen. 1831. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country, thee, land of the noble, free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, and woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom's song. Let mortal tongue awake, let all that breathe partake. Let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright, with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. You know, to those coming from Europe with its papal dictatorship and its German school of higher learning, what the New World offered to these pilgrims, these travelers, was like the promised land Joshua led God's people into, as our morning text informs us. It is God's might that protects the nation that honors his name and believes in his promises. Amen? I repeat, it is God's might that protects the nation that honors his name and believes in his promises. Verses 15 and 16 that close the morning text ring true, be it Joshua's promised land or the pilgrim's new world. This claim of our Puritan forefathers is echoed clearly in the hymn I just read. Beloved, as we look around our nation today, it seems very clear that God is not America's king.
True.
A lot has happened to the United States since My Country 'Tis of Thee was written. In just 185 years, we have gone through a great civil war, two great depressions, two world wars, Korea, Vietnam, and presently the insanity of the radical Muslims as it spreads through the Middle East and begins affecting cities like London and like Paris and like New York City right here at home. That true or false? Am I just babbling up here? Is that what has happened? How sad that the American churches as a whole are like the 10 spies that thought it impossible to enter God's promised land. How unlike Joshua are so many who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ today. In the revised history of today, so many are caught up in negativism. Negativism. How many here this morning remember FDR and his fireside chats that came to us over the radios back during the Second World War? How many? Do you remember the fireside chats? Every Sunday, fireside chat from FDR. Very often, I'm sure, I remember some of those talks. I was about 11 or 12 years old. My dad would listen to them fervently. He was a veteran of the First World War. But very few, I would imagine, including myself, remember on June the 6th, 1944. Anybody know what June the 6th, 1944 was? D-Day. The day that turned World War II around and the Allied forces began to wipe out the Axis. How many young men died on those Normandy beaches on D-Day? Well, when FDR spoke that week, my friends, he didn't offer another fireside chat. He didn't deliver a political speech. The president of these United States shared with his country a prayer he had written himself. I don't question his Christianity. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a prayer the president of the United States wrote himself and read to the American people. I'm going to put it on the bulletin board, but I'm going to read it. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, and steadfastness to their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard, for the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again, and we know that by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest until the victory is won. The darkness will rent by the noise and flame. Men's souls shall be shaken with the violence of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. You say, how long is this prayer going on? You're going to bore us to death. Are you listening to it? Are you listening to it? President of the United States of America speaking to the country? And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers, the brave overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of special prayer, but because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in the continuance of prayer as we rise to each new day, and again when each day is spent, Let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking thy help in all our efforts. Give us strength too. Strengthen our daily tasks to redouble the contributions we make in the physical and material support of our armed forces. And let our hearts be stout to wait out the long travail, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons, wherever they may be. And let our hearts, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dulled. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters, of but fleeting moment, let not these deter us in our unconquerable purpose. With thy blessing, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogancies. Lead us to the saving of our country and with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace, a peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the rewards of their honest toil. Thy will be done, Almighty God.
Amen.
Amen. He was a Democrat. He was, God help us.
Yes, sir.
Beloved, think with me. Think with me. In today's political climate, this would be considered controversial. Amen? It would be called politically incorrect. Just 72 years ago, our president shared a prayer with his people. On the day the Allied forces changed the tides of the greatest world war to date, and just 77 years later, we cannot pray publicly at a sports event. I'm not just prattling on here. I'm trying to wake people up. We can't pray publicly at a football game or a public school ceremony. Today, our Army and Navy chaplains cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the troops. Today, many of our churches have resorted to entertainment instead of education in order to boost their attendance. And the very things Joshua warned God's people not to do are being done. Sure, it was Old Testament. God's people. New Testament, the church, God's people. No more is it made clearer than the final two verses of this morning's text from the book of Joshua that America is in the very same state as the chosen people were centuries ago. As Joshua was preparing to die, these are the words he shared with his people. I struggle to not really be upset sometimes about what I read this morning in the paper. Well, they're going to bring a bill, and all those things they promised the GIs going to cut in half. God help us. Wounded Warriors Project, I think, finally going before the courts, where they spent thousands of dollars on dinners and banquets and so forth that were supposed to go to the wounded. Right. We're reading another hymn. Bear with me. I'm getting old. You got to put up with it. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Crown thy good with brotherhood, from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim's feet, whose stern and passionate stress a thoroughfare for freedom be to cross the wilderness. America, America, God, mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty and law. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, for more than self thy country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. Oh, beautiful for patriot's dream that sees beyond the years, and alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on me and crown thy good with brotherhood and sea shining sea. I believe your old preacher believes that we can take back our land or die trying, Christian friends. There truly is nothing God has failed to do for the United States of America. Look at us compared to other nations. Even in the downtrodden situation we find ourselves in today, look how much more blessed we are. There truly is nothing God has failed to do. But if we fail, Christians, to do our part, his anger may truly be kindled against us. And we certainly have a lesson of what happened to Israel right here. Yes or no? Why would it be any different for America? Let us try our very best, my friends, not to let this happen. Turn in closing with me, and you've been so patient, I appreciate it so much. Turn in closing with me to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 20. Yes, Old Testament again, that's right. Chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, I want us to look with new eyes, you and I, at what's going on today. New eyes. And listen to these words. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Talking to God here. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against so great a company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehiel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jael, came the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Joab. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it is God's." The battle. I fear we must be ready to fight, beloved. Ready to fight. The battle is not ours. It is not the Baptist Convention against the modernists. It is not. It's God's battle. We can choose to be part of it or to be politically correct.